Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 7 of Cage Talk with your host, Ben Bartels. A lot of big news has happened since the last episode. 300 is right around the corner as I'm recording this. It is this Saturday. We are in fight week. I'm so hyped. Let's go. But first, I want to discuss the announcement of the next UFC event, UFC 301. Big news announcement. The main event for 301 was just announced, and it was a flyweight title fight. The fight is Alexander Pantoja versus number 10 ranked Steve Ursig. Who cares? You know what? I care. I don't care if Ursig is the 10th ranked and has only like 3 UFC fights and looks and acts like Steve Carell. Ursig is bringing the title back to Australia for Volkanovski. Not gonna lie, there's not really much to say about this anyway. About the whole card anyway. I mean, you do have Jose Aldo making his return, which is literally the only other memorable fight. Like, who cares about, you know, Paul Craig versus Caio Barajo, or Petrino versus Smith, you know. I mean, it was expected, though. I mean, UFC 298, 299, and 300 were all amazing cards. Like, they can only put up so many great fights in a row. I feel like the next few cards are going to be pretty bad. At least until the UFC goes to the Sphere at, like, 305 or 306. Because I already know they're going to stack the crap out of those cards. And I'm all for it. Early picks, though, I got Jose Aldo if his retirement time off wasn't too bad. He's just, if he comes back right, he's just too good with his kicks and his fundamental boxing. I think he's going to destroy the, 10th ranked Martinez. I'm expecting big things from Aldo. And I'm hoping for a lot of big things. Hopefully there's some, like, a storybook conclusion for him. For the Pantoja-Ursig fight, I got Pantoja by, like, a ragdoll decision. Ursig is good, and I don't actually hate his chances. Like a lot of people are. His boxing is as crisp as ever, I will give you that. He just knocked out Matt Schnell in exciting fashion. But Pantoja has some amazing jiu-jitsu and the most underrated shit in the game. I mean, if you fight Figueiredo for 15 minutes and don't get knocked out, no other flyweight is going to be able to knock you out, and I stand by that. I don't see Pantoja ever getting finished anytime soon. Don't forget, the UFC is coming to St. Louis early May, and me and a friend are going to see it live. Oh my god, I'm so excited. I'm going to be there in person. I'm definitely going to have to tell you guys how that goes. The main event might be the most horrendous thing I've ever seen, though, with Derek Lewis versus the number 15 heavyweight Nascimento. I don't know. It should have been Rozenstruik. I've never seen a single Nascimento fight in my life, but if this guy can wrestle at all, Lewis is done for. I mean, Lewis just lost by getting laid on for 25 minutes a couple months ago, so I don't really like his chances if this Nascimento guy can wrestle at all. I'll do my research, and I might update my pick later if this guy can wrestle. I'll look into some of his fights. But if this guy strikes with Lewis, I don't care how good his striking is, Lewis by knockout all day. But, you know, there's some good bangers on here. Despain is coming back for the co-main of the prelims. He's always a fun watch. He just came in and absolutely decimated I forget what his name is, but he decimated some guy in 15 seconds. He has, like, some of the quickest average fight time in all of MMA right now. He's very quick, taekwondo, you know, gold medalist in the Olympics. Very big, very strong, very scary guy. I'm definitely picking him to win. He's one of my locks of the card. Alonzo Menafield versus Carlos Olberg is an underrated banger. I'm taking Olberg. His check left hook is just too strong, and it's his best weapon, and I think Alonzo is maybe just a bit too slow to dodge it. I feel like I can definitely see Alonzo rushing in with a right hand, Olberg slipping it, coming over the top with a left hook, and maybe hurting him or knocking him out, just like he does all his other opponents. I think it's only a matter of time before Olberg, maybe, you know, his style kind of catches up to him. But right now, I don't see Olberg losing. Sean Woodson, the St. Louis Sniper himself, is making an appearance on the card against Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres. This is going to be a really fun chess match. Sean Woodson is so abnormally huge and long for the division, he might have the strangest build of a human I've ever seen in featherweight division. But if Cacera shows up right, I'm taking him 100%. He's just too quick for Woodson's boxing, for Woodson, even though, don't sleep on him, because Woodson's boxing is very good. So don't sleep on, like, a Woodson KO or something. But Caceres, by decision, is my end-of-the-day pick. Jake Hadley is coming in on this card. He's probably going to show off his amazing boxing and get another win under his belt. Hopefully he gets moved on to some bigger names after this. He's really talented. Tabitha Ritchie versus Tisha Torres is an amazing fight. Ritchie by decision, though. I got no reason to say that. They're both coming off of losses. Ritchie has a lot less miles in the tank, though, and she's also a lot more active. And with these women fights that are a little bit lower down the ranking, whatever my gut picks is generally right. And I can imagine a storybook ending for Ritchie where this fight is just like a 29, 28, or 30, 27. Pretty clear decision for her. Chase Hooper versus Vishalev Borshev is such a good fight, and definitely in like the top three fights I'm looking forward to on this card. Borshev was just in a banger fight. The guy's mid-fight taunts are hilarious, and he's got some serious power in his striking. But Hooper, at the end of the day, has just dispatched the Monkey King, Jordan Levitt, and has been looking a lot better technique-wise, but also physically better at 155 rather than 145. I got Hooper by decision, or maybe submission, but this fight definitely isn't a fight I'll put money on. It's very close. Not only is it, you know, illegal to put money on fights in Missouri and sports bet in general, but it's also just so close, I wouldn't risk it. Yes, the main event is a stinker, but at least it'll be a knockout, you know? I mean, it can't be too bad. Should have been Rosenstrike versus Lewis, honestly, but I'm looking forward to, you know, Olberg, Menafield, Woodson, Caceres, Hooper, Borshev, Ricci Torres. You know, all the fights I just talked about, they're probably the best fights of the card. These are really, it's not a bad fight, and I'm happy with it, I guess. And don't forget, of course, Despain by knockout and finishing the main event is a guaranteed, so at least we'll have that. I was asked recently who I think will be champ in each weight class by the end of the year, and seeing as we're only three events in, and 3 months in, we should go through it step by step, because the UFC right now is looking very, you know, the champions are looking very dispatchable. Like, the champions could easily change by the end of the year and be someone, you know, we'd have no idea. But my picks for right now, I'm going to start at the bottom, work my way up. So women's strawweight, I got Tatiana Suarez. The strawweight division is by far the most stacked division in WMMA for the UFC. But it's still WMMA, and it's still very new. It needs time to grow and get more skilled fighters at the top. That being said, the women we have at the top of this division are still very talented. You have Yan Jianan fighting Zhang Wei Li at UFC 300 this weekend, so that should be really good. Whoever wins that fight, in my opinion, doesn't really matter, though, because I believe very closely, at least, because Zhang Weili puts up a very good fight. Tatiana Suarez, I believe, beats both of them. The now number two ranked contender is coming off a dominating win over the top contender Jessica Andrade. And despite her career so far being just riddled with injuries and inactivity, she's probably the most impressive force in the division, despite maybe Zhang Weili. So, yes, when Zhang Weili beats Zhao Nan, I do believe Zhang Weili will dispatch Zhao Nan very easily. I think she'll fight Suarez maybe near the end of the year and lose, and since the strawweight title usually gets put up for grabs twice a year, I think Suarez is ending out as not only the boogie woman of the division, but also the champ. We got women's flyweight. I got Alexa Grasso. Now, this is tough, and I'm definitely not confident in this, as I think this is really going to be held by either Grasso, Shevchenko, the former champ, or Manon Fiora. I would have put Erin Blanchfield in that conversation, but she just lost to Fiora in a very boring decision, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, Fiora's the number one contender. She'll be next in line after the trilogy of the Grasso-Shevchenko trilogy. Now, here's how I see this going. Grasso beats Shevchenko in a nail-biter of a decision to close out the rivalry, just like I see it very similar to their second fight. And then Fiora maybe comes in and, you know, displays some good striking. But the only reason I really liked Erin Blanchfield's chances of being champion before the loss to Fiora is because I feel like she could do some good things on the ground against Alexa Grasso. I don't think Manon Fiora has much for Alexa Grasso on the feet, and she definitely doesn't have much for her on the ground. And I just think Alexa Grasso is going to be able to outscore Manon Fiora. It's kind of point striking kind of style. But, you know, Fiora's always like a dark horse of the division. So, you know, don't sleep on her. We got women's bantamweight. I got Pennington remaining champ, or hopefully no one. You know, I tried being nice to this division, but I just don't care anymore. The division is dead with Pennington as champ, and Mayra Branisova had the chance to breathe new life into the division as she's a new challenger and showed she could talk some trash, but she just gassed out against Pennington and lost a dominating decision. The only interesting fight, if you can even call it that, is Pennington versus Juliana Pena. A Harrison matchup down the line could be interesting, but, like, come on. Remove the division. Flyweight, I got Alexander Pantoja. We just talked about how he's probably going to beat Ursegg. But if you look at the contender list right now, nobody except Moreno really has a chance, in my opinion. And the only other people I do see maybe beating Pantoja are, in my opinion, I don't think they're getting a title shot this year. Makhachev probably isn't going to get a title shot out of anybody here. I think he's most likely. But even if he does, I see him losing to Pantoja. Manel Kopp already lost to Pantoja, so that obviously isn't helping. But he just missed weight earlier this year, and he has a fight scheduled against Nicolau, right? I don't know. He has a fight scheduled later, like mid this year, so that should be interesting. But I think that puts him right in line for maybe a title shot early next year. And I do like Cobb's chances to be a champion, but I don't know. It's just he really screwed himself by missing weight earlier this year. Maybe Ursegg can do something interesting, but I already discussed how that's not happening, though. But I will be rooting for the Aussie, though. Bantamweight, I'm going with Corey Sandhagen. This feels like me more hoping than thinking. While I think Corey Sandhagen is supremely talented and his chances of championship belts just skyrocketed with Aljo moving up a weight class, I think the UFC just hates the guy and he's not going to be able to get the title shot. He already deserves it, in my opinion, by like what he's bit doing in his run right now. But now what? He's got to look down and risk everything against the undefeated Umar Nurmagomedov, cousin of the retired legend Khabib Nurmagomedov. The guy just can't catch a break, and his never say no warrior attitude isn't really doing him any favors. I love the guy, but if he gets a title shot, he's so adaptable. I think he beats anyone, whether it be Merab or O'Malley. I just think the UFC doesn't like how he never talks trash, so I don't see them giving him a title shot when there's a bunch of other people who deserve it and will be getting it, like Merab. Featherweight, I do have Holloway. By the way, if Corey Sandhagen doesn't get a title shot, I'm going with Merab by champ by the end of 2024 in bantamweight. Featherweight, I got Holloway. Now, hear me out. I think Holloway gets the title shot because Topuria just beat Volk off of merit, so now there's like a, you know, just an open door for the title. And I think Holloway, over everybody, obviously, deserves that. Now, he does have the Gaethje fight this weekend at UFC 300. But after the Gaethje fight, I think there's a good chance Holloway gets the title shot at featherweight, given time to heal up and after the beating he'll receive from Gaethje. Because that fight, is going to be a war. Now, if he loses to Gaethje, which is likely, Holloway's definitely going to lose some luster of being the number one contender and beating and, you know, being just above everybody. But he's definitely going to lose some of that luster, and it'll be hard to get a title shot over, say, Evloev or Volkanovski, especially Volkanovski. I do think he'll get the title shot against Evloev, and I will discuss what to do with Mavzar Evloev, sorry. And yes, I know he's lost to Volkanovski three times. I don't think Holloway ever beats Volk, even coming off a head kick KO, and now an even more brutal KO from Ilya. Now, I am a believer in the saying that styles make fights, and Topuria's boxing and reliance on power punches is a good style for Holloway and the way he likes to fight. But if you noticed, I think by the end of the year, and this is a bold prediction, I know, but I think there will be a triangle at the top of the featherweight division where Volk beats Holloway, Holloway beats Topuria, and Topuria beats Volk. Now, there's a big chance that doesn't happen and maybe Ilya just smashes Max like he has everybody else. But with how crazy the UFC and MMA is, I think there's a possibility worth taking into consideration. Now, this is all assuming either Volk doesn't get the immediate rematch against Topuria, which, I mean, he should. At least it should be immediate for him. Maybe, you know, Ilya fights Max or Evloev in the meantime, but Max isn't assuming Max isn't too badly hurt against Gaethje, which I don't see happening, and Ilya doesn't fight Evloev in the meantime, which is also very likely, as Evloev and Topuria are both undefeated, and you know how fighting promotions always love to do the whole someone's always got to go. I swear, if all that is holy, if Ilya fights this year, takes up one of his, like, title shots against Ortega, the guy just doesn't deserve it. This is the perfect featherweight timeline. This is, okay, how about this? This is the perfect featherweight timeline. Volk takes time off until next year or late this year. Holloway fights Topuria, and Ortega versus Evloev happens this to fight the winner of Holloway Topuria. But if Volkanovski wants winner of Holloway versus Topuria, he should get that over the winner of Evloev versus Ortega. I should mention that. On to lightweight, we got Islam Makhachev as the reigning lightweight champion by the end of 2024. He's the number one pound-for-pound fighter for a reason. Gaethje is dangerous, of course, and I like to see him get a title shot like he deserves if he beats Max in brutal fashion like I predict. Oliveira is there like always and deserves a title shot if he beats Saryukian. But, of course, you know, same with Saryukian. He's got to beat Olives. Makhachev is just so well-rounded, though. I think he beats all these guys. He beats Gaethje because Gaethje has no ground game, and that wasn't a hyperbole. The man has zero knowledge of jiu-jitsu. He beats Oliveira, and really, that's just because when I look back at their fight in 280, there's nothing that tells me, oh, Oliveira could win if he exploits this or gets better at that or does this. He got dominated bell to bell until that round two sub by Islam Makhachev. I don't see Oliveira beating him, sadly. Saryukian, if he beats Oliveira, he's interesting. He's just as well-rounded as Makhachev with arguably more power. Regardless, I think Makhachev's experience would show in that fight, and he'd beat him maybe, you know, in the late championship rounds. Their fight, their first fight on, like, Oliveira back then was very close, and it was Saryukian's, you know, it was just his first fight in the entire UFC, so I feel like he'd do a lot better. But I think Islam Makhachev's, you know, championship grit and heart and toughness and knowledge would just show. And he'd, you know, get a decision or a late round TKO or something like that. Out of all these fights, though, I think Saryukian's is the most exciting. I think Gaethje and Olives just get completely ran through, which is sad because, you know, I'm the biggest Justin Gaethje fan on the planet. I'm so excited for UFC 300. If he loses to Max Holloway by TKO and retires, like some people are saying, I will actually cry. I can't handle a Justin Gaethje retirement TKO loss at UFC 300. If that happens, I'll let you know. But as of right now, that is the end of the episode. I will talk about welterweight and onward